This is not cheap gas, it is the gas that there is, it is the price of the gas that is being marketed in our market area today. That price goes up tomorrow and our price will go up. So therefore, it's, it is always the highest price, but it's also the lowest price. If he could buy additional gas at a lower price, he would. But the market is not there, the market is at a higher price. And so therefore, even though the state's royalty is at the highest price, it is also the lowest price that we have gas available. Now that's a difficult concept, but it's certainly true.
I move that with individual rates.
With the letter of intent?
How about the letter of intent?
I know of it, I've still not read it, I personally feel that this may be necessary from some viewpoint, it's not been contemplated this way up to now.
Well, does it do you any violence?
The violence, if any, would be at the, in our agreement with Phillips, which is part of the contract that has to do with.
Well, the thing is, Phillips just isn't going to go. Senator Buttigieg, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I thought, unless they had some violent opposition to it, at this stage of the game, if you want to get into a wrangle with the House, you know, based on the letter of intent, and it's a question now, whether we adopt it, if we don't adopt it, if we pass the resolution and don't adopt it, you're probably going to plea conference and good night, Irene. I'm not saying that in a threatening manner, I'm just telling you what the political facts of life are at this point in time in the session.
Right.
So I'd like you to tell us whether the letter is acceptable or not.
Well, as much as it speaks to the matter of Phillips, I don't think I could respond for them. I feel that perhaps the letter of intent requires some inquiry, and that's appropriate. Has the effect of changing the contract, and I agree. I don't think it does. I think it all it does is ask for some inquiry after the action is taken. That's appropriate.
Senator Tilley?
All it does is say that the state doesn't waive any claims it has under other actions with, you know, this contract isn't a waiver of the claim that Phillips is under our jurisdiction.
Mr. Chairman, to that effect, I would certainly accept the letter.
Is there any objection from the committee members, appointing the charge with individual recommendation with the letter of intent. Without objection, board.
Which is tough, considering you got the gas. I didn't have it in Phillips because I think it might be for in Phillips form.
I asked him to speak for it.
Yeah, I haven't seen Mr. Huber since his bad day on the floor.
Did you hear that name?
Unchanged.
I was here that day.
Okay, they're still fighting over miscellaneous claims. Jim Tilley, you can find him.
I'll go to work. I don't have a name on this Senate Finance Committee. Have I been left off for any particular reason?
We had a meeting of committee on committees.
It looks like it.
Okay, is there anything else that we need to meet for?
Mr. Chairman?
Do you want Rosen on that? We've just got the bill and we're
Selma Buckles had her potty bill.
Yeah, I have to go to the potty. Joe.
I brought it up, I don't.
She told Bertie yesterday to tell me without smiling that she wanted me to consider her toilet bill.
You brought it up.
Now wipe and leave.
Are you ready to testify on this?
Yes, sir.
This is on House Bill 168.
Chairman, the problem essentially is that Arlen Tusing and the Institute with a long name at the university,
Cigar,
extended their work on the contract. Their son.
Which contract?
The one for the electric power study. And there was, I guess, thought on the part of some that the contract was over, but they were still doing a few follow-up items. And there were sufficient funds available in the Budget and Audit Committee overall account, but no billing was received prior to the end of the fiscal year, and no notification that there would be billing forthcoming was received, and so the amounts were lapsed. When finally it was all sorted out after the very, very end of August, it was too late to encumber these funds because the time had actually passed. The state last year moved its final closing of the books up about a week, and these billings from the university came streaking in just about the 25th of August, but the books of the state had closed on the 19th, something like that. So we were without funds to pay the $8,344.
Are we obligated?
Well, yes and no. My own personal opinion is that the university should have been a little bit more diligent in that matter, but I suspect the legislature's had a substantial experience this year with just this kind of problem in a far greater magnitude. They apparently do not run a very tight ship up here when it comes to closing out a fiscal year, not as tight as the rest of the state does. So they really weren't concerned that this mystical date of August 31st was approaching.
Okay, Mr. Tusson did have a contract, though.
Yes,
there's
he
no
did.
Question about that.
No. He was one of the principal consultants on that study.
Gonna have to pay it sooner or later.
Are there any questions of committee members?
You wanna do it later?
I can take it from that then. Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee substitute for H.B. 168 and pass from committee with individual records.
Is there an objection? Yeah, I told him to come back at 10 o'clock, though. I didn't think things were going to close around. He wanted to bring up for discussion HCR 74. And anybody know what happened to Senator Croft?
No, I was gonna bring up the bottle bill, but he's kind of an essential piece of that.
In that case, I think you would agree. HCR 74, Department Administration has mandated adjustments in rental rates for employee occupied state-controlled housing. These adjustment rates have resulted in rental rates far in excess of fair market value.
There you are.
We're
just pay me the bill, bro.
Taking up HCR 74. Are you care to testify?
During the last year or so, the state's decided to centralize the administration of all employee occupied state housing. And control of it's been placed with the Department of Administration. And one of the main reasons that in the past has been a situation, really inequitable situation, where employees of one department have been living in a trailer for nothing right next to an employee of another department who's paying $300 a month. And they made the decision to centralize and come up with a formula for adopting a standard rent for all departments. And what this resolution seeks to do is to alter the formula that, or suggest that they alter the formula they're using. They've adopted HUD's fair market rent for new construction. At the time they did it, at least when they testified to the FAR committee, they indicated at the time they did it, they weren't aware of the fact that HUD's rents for new construction are projected 2 years in advance and are, in fact, what somebody ought to be charging 2 years ahead of time, because it's intended to allow for a construction period and a project application period. The resolution would request that they use fair market rents for existing housing, and it would further request that they use fair market rents for each region of the state. What they do now is they use their new construction fair market rent as the base for Anchorage as the base rate, and they multiply it by the salary differential for each location of the state. HUD, however, breaks its fair market rents down by census district. The resolution would request that they use whatever the calculated fair market rent is for each census district around the state. So the main thrust is to shift them to using fair market rents for existing housing as opposed to fair market rents for new construction, which, as I said, is a 2 year projected ahead 2 years.
Chairman?
Senator Barcini?
But isn't there a problem with even the census district that within some of the larger census districts that, for example, if you're on the highway, it's the same square foot is probably cheaper than if you're back in the boonies?
Probably the thing is the census districts are more detailed. There are more census districts than there are salary differential areas, and it's more, I think they're 29 of them, as opposed to something like 19 or 20, 21 geographical salary differential. So it's somewhat more detailed than the...
What's wrong with just using fair market, whatever local fair market, they might not be something.
Well, in some cases there is no fair market value, but the thing I do, the first part of yours I like, about standard rents, but I think that you ought to hook it to the salary differential, because after all, if a guy's, you know, if a trooper is stationed somewhere in one area, and the rent for his trailer is such and such, if he's transferred to something with a higher differential, to hook it to that differential is much fairer than just raising his rent because it happens to be somewhere in the more distant part of the census district. You know, hooking it to his salary seems to me the fairest way. And also, if you've got a 10% salary differential, you get a 10% difference on your rent.
God, you mean, I mean, Senator Killian, one person is making $16,000 a year, and one person making $35,000 a year. You mean the person $35,000 ought to be paying twice as much?
No, I'm not saying that. That's not what it did.
The difference in salary, the salary differential.
It's only by that percentage.
The area differential within the district. What, doesn't that come into play with the fair market value as provided for by the U.S. Department of Housing and Development?
No, the area differential in salary is based upon the area difference in cost. You're paying a base thing. All right, well, rents ought to be the same. If, you know, if it's 10% more in one district than another, the rents will be 10% more too. Hooking it to that seems much fairer than hooking it to the census.
No, my question to you, Senator Killian, is that the U.S. Department of Housing and Economic Development, Urban Development, fair market rents within various regions must take into consideration the cost of living differential, just because of the fact that transportation for items go out there, such as housing, is more expensive, and that's put into the base for the fair market value. Is that not true?
It doesn't work out just that way unless you hook it to the area differential, because our area differentials don't, not quite the same as HUD. So what you could find is somebody that didn't have benefit of the area differential paying a higher rent.
Mr. McKinnon?
My reason for referring to the HUD statewide formula was that our salary differentials are tended to gear towards an overall cost of living. Perhaps fuel is higher than the salary differential, and maybe food is lower, and housing may be lower, and clothing may be higher, whatever, but the overall cost of living difference is whatever our salary differential is. Whereas the HUD formula is just a cost of living differential for housing. And that's why I suggested that. My main concern is, of course, the shifting back to fair market rents for existing housing.
Oh. I agree with that. It's just that I'm looking at a south central district, you know, differential under a HUD. And what you'll find is that though the person hasn't gotten the salary differential increase, he'll be operating in an area where the housing under HUD would cost a great deal more. You know, and I think that a person shouldn't have a difference in rent if his pay hasn't gone up. But he should have a difference in rent to make up for the cost if his, in other words, the troopers in the South Central District are all going to get the same pay, even though one might be living over in a village area where it's considerably more expensive to get the housing into it. Do you want his rent to be higher, which HUD would allow it? Or do you want it to only be higher if he's getting an area increase in pay to cover it? That's the only thing I'm, you know, argue about. Otherwise, I don't argue it.
Representative McKinnon, did you have any other comments to make?
No.
The resolution will be out with individual recommendations.
It's a motion to move the resolution out with individual recommendations. Is there an objection?
Hours, 100.
Meeting adjourned.
That's a bummer, I believe.